This is Rebecca Lowe, or Rebecca Lua, if you listen to Suboptimal Radio, and you are listening to Men in Blazers on the NBC Sports Network.
It's unbelievable!
Come on, Rog, take your seat. No more admin. Oh! You're not in New York anymore, Rog. From the back terrace of the Four Seasons Hotel. In the not-so-crap part of a city that I'm yet to find the crap part of, Austin, Texas! It's the Men in Blazers live podcast.
We're all Burnley today.
Yeah. It's my Chelsea boys.
I couldn't be happier to be at South by Southwest. I actually thought it was going to be a Game of Thrones conference. It was South by Southwesteros. Yeah. So my excitement is only mildly diminished. God, I love this plant work by NBC. Let's hear it for the plant work by NBC.
Yes.
The shrubbery reminds me of Robbie Earl's Cheswick.
Lovely trees, though, Rog. Really gorgeous. I might just sit here and contemplate nature for the next hour.
I'm going to contemplate Texas. I want to thank any real Texans who are here. Is there anyone from Texas? I just want to say how thrilling it is for us to be in your fine state. We love Migas. I love hands on a hard body. And I love any state where it's still a hanging offence to steal cattle or to put graffiti on somebody else's cow.
Wow.
Take that, Banksy.
Can you put
stop him.
You can put graffiti on your own cow.
Yeah, oh yeah.
With gay abandon, but not on anybody else's cow.
Yeah, not on anybody else's cow.
Okay.
I'm also a sucker for any state that has their flying mammal, the three-tailed bat. I think that's just phenomenal.
Yeah.
A lifespan of up to 18 years. But most of all, I just love how you say crap in Texas. You don't say crap. What do you say, Dave?
Bull crap.
Yeah, we're all in. We're all in on the bull crap thing.
Yeah.
But it is a cliche to say this, but we'd be remiss if we didn't say it. It is an honour and a privilege for both of us to be in the state which birthed the great American brick shay. Anybody here from College Station, Texas?
Oh, come and take it.
All right, we love Austin too. Stone Cold, Steve Austin,
yeah.
Wes Anderson, Mick Discarude, slightly less athletic half-brother.
Yeah.
And bringing chest hair back, Tom Ford. Amazing, yes. Amazing place to be, David.
Yeah, love Texas. Properly love it here. You've been down to Gorin Brothers in South Congress today. Bought a few more hats, Rog.
Yeah.
He loves a hat from Gorin Brothers.
Yeah, desperately needed for the ball, man.
Yeah. You didn't actually realise that there are two branches of Gorin Brothers in New York City.
No.
But you always come here to buy your local hats.
Tradition.
At the Austin, Texas branch.
They're different
of
here.
Of Gorin
But
Brothers.
You've been here. You've had an amazing time.
Yeah, I've had a couple of days here. My daughter lives in Austin, Texas. She is a river bat at Austin Community College and an art student there up at Texas State. And, yeah, I love it here. But first of all, Rog, England. Big week in football you enjoyed in England.
Yep. What did we learn this week? We learned that God exists and she loves the French.
Yeah, I can't. I'm not an atheist, Rog.
Yeah.
But I will not accept the presence of God if it's a God that only loves the French. I'm just going to put it there. I cannot accept a God that only loves the French.
Well, her name is Mon Dieu.
Yeah.
And all I'll say is, Jose Mourinho saying my team could not cope with the pressure. Jose Mourinho. I mean, that's like, For me to hear that, it's like trying to imagine Robin Thicke having an original idea. I just couldn't conceive of such a thing until this week, Davo.
Yeah, well,
what happened?
Well, what you're referring to is Chelsea, Champions League, the home leg against PSG, Paris Saint-Germain. I think a game after getting the 1-1 draw in Paris a couple of weeks ago, everyone expected Chelsea to come home and play ugly, pragmatic football and eke out maybe a 1-0 win, maybe a 0-0 draw. Instead, Chelsea played pragmatic, ugly, uninspired football and eked out a 2-2 draw, which eliminated them from the Champions League, Roger.
Yeah, it was like watching Wayne Goodman and the Purple Cobras go down, David.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got to think about it. Diego Costa at the beginning of the season, Diego Costa now, Cesc Fabregas at the beginning of the season,
yeah.
Cesc Fabregas now. I mean, this was the night that was summed up. The fact was, this was the night that Gary Cahill showed Diego Costa how to finish.
Yeah, I know. That's a pretty alarming thing. Look, this is going to be both a defence of Chelsea, Rog, and also an evisceration of them at the same time. And I see some Chelsea shirts around. Don't worry, I'm not abandoning the team, but we've got to be honest about what happened. Chelsea, the better team, won on the night. But this is not an atypical Chelsea performance. Chelsea in the Champions League, in the modern era, this is the kind of result they have again and again and again. They play badly, they play brutally, even in the years where we've done very well in the Champions League, even in the year when we won the Champions League, Rog. Chelsea play ugly, pragmatic football. They rarely win by more than a goal. They usually draw the games. Even in the Champions League, they won, Rog. They drew the game. This result, this performance, was no really more ugly than any other game that Chelsea tend to play in the Champions League, for me. But the best team won. Paris Saint-Germain deserved to go through. And actually, the red card for Ibrahimovic was ridiculous. And almost it would have been terrible had Chelsea had won it after that injustice.
I mean, for me watching that game, it was like when you circle the wagons, when you scorch the earth, when you burn all the bridges and you tell your team everything is going against them.
Yeah.
They don't know how to behave when everything is actually going for them, Davo. I mean, the bigger question is about the English Premier League.
Yeah.
City wobbling. Arsenal, huge test this week.
Against Liverpool, Monaco.
Already out. Chelsea out. Are we only held together at this point as the greatest league in the world by the narrative?
Yeah, well, what you're suggesting is because of English teams, English Premier League teams' lack of success this season, with notable exceptions, Rog, in Europe, does that mean that the English Premier League is essentially, compared to the great Bundesliga and compared to La Liga...
Compared to MLS, big boy.
Is it not in Europe, MLS? Could take it back if they wanted at any point, but they don't have it right now. Is the Premier League crap? And as a passionate defender of the free market, as a passionate lover of entertainment, I would say that's absolute rubbish. The English Premier League is the best league in the world because it is the most desired league in the world. It's the league that makes the most money in the world. It's the league that people in countries, in all 198 members of the United Nations and some who aren't, it is the league that everybody wants to watch, Rog. And it's the league that provides drama and narrative and upsets. And it's the only league that can supply Dave Fishwick minibus sales, Burnley Football Club, that passionate, amazing performance to beat Manchester City today.
That's what it's all about at the end of the day, minibus sales.
By the way,
what kind of parallel universe are we living in where Everton Football Club, are England's finest...
This is so great because every other live show we've ever done, whenever Rog mentions Everton, there's a massive outpouring of love. And Rog is having to deal with right now for the first time that there are more Chelsea shirts in the audience than Everton ones. That would fit, Rog.
That's Leon Osman's shirt. the gentleman over there who chanted was also the only one who got excited when I mentioned College Station. Anyway, we are the last remaining hope in Europe, Dave. I don't know how to think about that or to process it.
Arsenal. There are some gooners here, I know. Arsenal are still in Europe, Rog. Technically. Thank you for saying it before I said it.
Yeah, that was what was odd about today's game. Anybody watched today's Arsenal game? It was extraordinary. And the extraordinary thing about it was just a routine win. You don't see Arsenal Football Club do too many routine wins.
Yeah.
But I took a new approach to the Dynamo Kiev game.
Yeah.
Because Everton have been in so badly. Roberto Martinez will not make changes. Brendan Rodgers, any Liverpool fans here? Credit Brendan Rodgers. He makes changes. He makes a lot of them. Roberto Martinez keeps doing the same thing. So I decided if he's not going to change things up, I would. And so against Stoke and against Arsenal, I adopted Devo's radical positivity and approached the game as if I knew they were going to win.
Yes, always believe.
They lost both games 2-0 with possibly the most impotent performance I've seen since the beginning of the King's Speech.
Yeah.
So this time, I tried a whole new approach, Devo.
Yeah.
A whole new approach to this Kiev game. I decided I'd make the ultimate sacrifice. It's amazing how deluded I am. I think Everton's fortunes are all about me. How I watch the game, where I watch the game.
But this is what fans believe. True fans believe this, Rog.
Yeah, but it's like Schopenhauer, the German philosopher. He said, man can do what he wills, but he cannot will what he wills. I mean, the honest truth is, football, we have no control over what unfolds.
None.
But I kidded myself. I decided not to watch the game at all. I would not watch the game and see how Everton would prosper. I may never watch Everton Football Club again, David.
Excellent. You don't often see a Croatia shirt in the house. That's the bananas in pyjamas. I love that shirt.
It's very nice to see. Shirt. Let's hear it from Nikita Jelovic in the audience.
Yeah, Jelovic. Excellent.
By the way, when I was in England, I asked Tim Howard when I interviewed him. I said, Tim, are we going to get relegated? And Tim went, yes, we're not going to get relegated. I've never been more convinced that Everton are going to get relegated this season.
You're not going to get relegated. This is not radical positivity, Rog. This is just common sense. You've got Queen's Park Raisins beneath you in the table.
It would actually be more effective if they fielded 11 Raisins for their remaining fixtures.
Don't think that Harry didn't argue for that on the way out. You've got Sunderland. You saw the scenes at the end of the Sunderland game today, Rog.
Yeah, I loved them.
And you got Leicester.
Yeah.
Where you've been. They're all worse than Everton, Rog.
All right. We'll talk about that on Tuesday on the podcast.
On the pod and Monday on the TV show.
I feel some guests coming.
Time for our guest. Time for our first guest, Rog. Our first guest. He's an NFL running back. We properly love football, Rog. He's a four-time Pro Bowler. His special brand of speed and toughness makes him the NFL's equivalent of Eden Hazard. He's no stranger to Austin. He helped lead your Texas Longhorns to a national championship. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage from the Kansas City Chiefs, Jamaal Charles. First off, I mean, Jamaal, the shoes.
The shoes.
The shoes. Slippers. We've never had a guest on Men in Blazers in slippers. And they are tight.
These not slippers. These loafers.
They're loafers. They're not slippers. They're loafers. And they are tight.
And the air tight. Let's hear it for air tight.
Air ties. Sporting the air tie.
They said Men in Blazers, so I had to show up in the blazer.
You're looking good in your blazer. You're looking sharp. Little houndstooth check there, Jamaal. I like it. I like it.
Jamaal, there's so much that we like about you. You are a man with six gears. You can surge to up to 80% of your speed within four steps. It takes Devo five.
Yeah.
What's it like to run at such pace? I mean, we've had a lot of very good-looking blokes on our show recently. We had Josh Duhamel, and I asked him, what's it like to go through life so beautiful? I want to know, how is it going through life so fast? I mean, I'm a bald man with little legs. I often think about my own body. Do you often lie down and just... are you just suddenly so excited by your own body and what it can do?
It's like driving a Lamborghini or driving a sports car and you just passing everybody up.
Dave and I both drive minis.
Being in your own skin is like driving a Lamborghini. That is like the most... loafers. That is like such a great concept. But at the point, I want to go back to your youth, back to your childhood.
Yeah.
Because what I've heard from a couple of other NFL players, in fact, a couple of guys I met just on the way into the hotel today, is that what makes your speed so devastating is your change of pace, that you can change gear. You can go from moving extremely fast, which is probably pretty slow for you, to moving at light speed fast on a change of direction very quickly. That is something that you must have realized you could do in childhood in Port Arthur, Texas. What was it? At what point did you realize you had that supernatural ability, that special power?
I had to say I had it when I was like probably in, when I was small, like childhood playing Pop Warner football. And I knew when I cut on a dime and I make people, the little kids miss. I mean, back then I make the kids miss.
Yeah, but you still make the kids miss. So make the big kids miss.
Yeah, when I was back in our childhood, you know what I'm saying, I'm definitely gifted. I'm very happy that I'm very blessed. You know what I'm saying, God gave me a talent, a skill that, you know what I'm saying, I could take to the grave with me. So I'm very blessed with that.
But as you went and then played against, so you grew up in Port Arthur, you played against certain kids, then you played against kids like in that region of Texas, then across the whole of Texas, then across the whole of country. Like, did you ever meet anybody who had any speed like you?
I met a couple guys, you know what I'm saying? I ran in the Junior Olympics before. I was a track guy. Track was my first love, so yeah. You know what I'm saying? I won state, and I won Big 12 in 100 meters.
Wow. And what was your fastest time ever?
10-1.
Wow. Wow.
So I thought I was going to go to the Olympics, but I was like...
Was that over 20 yards?
No. Five times 20 yards. Oh. 10.1 seconds.
By the way, when you're saying when you were best in your city, when you were best in Texas, there was probably a drop-off after Texas.
Yeah, exactly. You've got to deal with other stats.
I read this stat about you. 630,000, which is the estimate... You know this. It's the estimated cumulative pounds of force you feel while being tackled every season. 350 tackles, 1,800 pounds per tackle. ESPN magazine said that's comparable to being kicked by a horse more than 200 times. What is it? I read this and I thought, what is it that you like being about being kicked by a horse more than 200 times?
Just the excitement about the game, man. You know, people talking noise. You know what I'm saying? It's when people talking noise, talking about get up, get back. And you just get that legitimacy, like, okay, I'm about to come back your way again. So it's just stuff like that just make you want to do it again. You know, people competing with each other.
That's just the horse talking. Get up, get back. Are you ever afraid?
Oh, no. I mean, I'm blessed. You know what I'm saying? I got God behind me. I'm never scared. And once I got him on my side, you can't be beat.
And that is not a God who is only there for the French people, Rog. Not in Texas.
She is.
So, Texas, you are proper Texas.
Port Arthur, Texas.
I don't know I'm proper Texas.
But what is it about Texas? Is there something about Texas that inhabits you as an athlete? Is there something that makes you different because you're from Texas?
Oh, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Texas is everything big. That's how we think.
Yeah.
Everything
come and take
big.
It.
And, I mean, where I'm from, you know what I'm saying, Port Arthur, Texas, we got some
home of Jimmy Johnson.
Jimmy Johnson.
Great hair.
Yeah.
And also Pimp C and Bun B.
UGK.
Yeah. You went to school here in Austin.
Yeah.
And you experienced a national championship. That was pathetic. You got kicked by a horse to win that national championship.
Yeah. Several.
We're all fascinated as Englishmen. Texas. If it was a country, it would be the 40th biggest country in the world.
Yeah.
Henry Rollins once said, Texas is as odd as it is vast. It's illegal to sell one's eye in this state. 48.2, prohibition of purchase and sale of human organs. It's illegal to take more than 3 sips of beer at a time while standing.
Listen up!
You have towns called Kickapoo, Ding Dong, Gun Barrel City and Bacon. That's my favorite.
Oh, I love Bacon.
That's truly the Holy Land. Can you describe to two complete strangers, for you, what is the essence of Texas, Jamal?
I mean, the love here in Texas, you know what I'm saying, especially being in Austin, man. It's a great city, young city. Yeah. great food. It's a great environment here, man. People are so nice here, you know what I'm saying, besides going to another city. You know what I'm saying? I feel like everybody here is weird, but everybody got your back, though. Uh-huh. But it's fun, you know what I'm saying? I think Austin is a great city to live, especially it's one of the best. People come here every year to live here, to grow a family, and to stay in Austin. I love Austin.
So you mentioned nice. You, of all the amazing achievements in your life and your career, I don't think that anything for me stands out more than something I experienced when doing research on you for today. In an article in ESPN, the magazine, that was published online, there are over 350 comments to that article. Comments on the internet can be vicious.
Yeah.
I read all 350 plus of those comments.
Whoa.
There is not a single negative comment about you in that entire interview. And in fact, massive fans of other teams say, I don't like the Chiefs. I don't like anybody else who doesn't play for my team. But I cannot say anything negative about Jamaal Charles. He is an inspiration. He is a role model. He's a brilliant athlete and a great man.
What's your question? Tell us about the real you.
Yeah.
Me, you know what I'm saying? I'm very, you know what I'm saying, quiet, very friendly, very, you know what I'm saying, want to give everybody an opportunity. I don't judge nobody. You know what I'm saying? I want everybody to make it. I want everybody to be successful. You know what I'm saying? I want to inspire people. I want the kids to look up to me. And you know what I'm saying? I give back to the community as well. So, you know what I'm saying? As much as I can do with a good heart to give back to people that love me, and I'll show love back. You know, that's how I give respect where it's given.
Yeah, I mean, can you tell us? Because you've had an incredible, you are 5'11". I'm taller than you if I ever stood up straight. You didn't draft where you wanted to draft in the draft order.
Yeah.
You had a battle at Kansas City to establish yourself. You've had personal challenges at every step of the way. Yet the determination that you've showed, I read a bit, you said a beautiful quote. You said, I didn't know that I could leave Port Arthur. I didn't know what was out there for me after high school. You've made something unbelievable. You are no run-of-the-mill running back. You are if anyone does fantasy football, you are in the wise draft pick of anybody who plays that game. We have a lot of young listeners, Jamaal.
Yeah.
What can you tell them about the most important lesson you've learned in life?
Hard work, you know what I'm saying? I feel like don't never give up on your dreams. You know what I'm saying? Nothing's going to be given to you in life. You got to work for everything you get. I'm definitely a hard-working person. And if whatever you want, you know what I'm saying, go get it. You don't got to be a football player. You can be anything. You can be a commentator, or you can be a lawyer, or you can be anything in the world, you know what I'm saying? But you got to put your mind and set goals and have a dream, you know what I'm saying? And once you set goals, try to touch them goals, try to reach them goals. And once you reach one goal, I bet you're going to keep setting goals.
Dealing with those professional challenges, not going in the draft where you wanted or deserved, and your early years in Kansas City, perhaps not getting the number of plays that you really deserved, and now you've established yourself, you run, you catch, you do everything on a football field. Does it make the moment you make it even sweeter? Because you've had to have those moments where you're like, even you must have moments of doubt when you're not quite sure it's going to happen for you.
Oh, yeah, you know what I'm saying? I want the moments, you know what I'm saying? I don't want the guys to go out there to not like giving the ball and I can't do nothing. I want them to give me the ball and I want to show the world what I can do. You know, so I want to show, I've been having a chip on my shoulder since I was drafted in third round. So I want to play like I'm a first round guy. I want to play like I'm a franchise player, and I want to help my team win games and go to the Super Bowl. That's why I'm here playing in the NFL. I want to win championships.
I want to see you in a Super Bowl.
I mean, you told me to chase my dreams. You've got me thinking about Molly Ringwald now.
Yeah. But it could still happen, Rog.
I want to finish with a massive question, a contentious question. I don't like to shirk the big questions, Jamaal. You live in Kansas City. Arthur Bryant's barbecue or Joe's barbecue?
Oklahoma Joe's.
Wow, excellent.
Oklahoma Joe's.
There we have it. Well,
I read a quote saying you got to eat that before you die. I heard that, and it's pretty good.
I've eaten it a lot. I don't know what it says about my future.
Jamaal Charles, terrific. Good luck.
Appreciate
and
that.
Godspeed this season with the Kansas City Chiefs in the NFL. We will be watching you every step of the
Appreciate
way,
that.
Inspired
Thanks.
By you. Thanks Looking for that support. Change of pace. Ladies and gentlemen, Jamaal Charles.
Wow. Wow. There you go. You've got to admire someone who is so determined that they write 350 comments under their own articles. That is a lesson about life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dedication.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got to start putting some people towards doing that, Rog. So, Rog, we're staying in the great game of American football. Our next guest, an electric NFL receiver. He's got a nose for the end zone, Rog. And while we love watching him score touchdowns, what we really love is watching him dance afterwards. We love dancing.
Is it Willie Gault?
Nope, it's not. Ladies and gentlemen, a man who would be right at home celebrating goals in the Premier League with Crouchy. From the New York Giants, Victor Cruz. You're looking tight, also. You're looking good.
Thank you.
Show me those chains. Let's see the bling there. I want to see the chains.
Okay. If you insist.
I love it. Whoa.
Just a couple.
How much?
I knew I was coming to see you guys, so I made sure I was.
Can I wear one while you're up here?
Absolutely.
How much does it weigh?
I'll give you the robe.
Oh, I'd love one. Thank you.
Wow.
Can I chain you? Can I do that?
Oh, arise! Arise, Sir Roger!
Oh, my nipples are tingling. Amazing. That's amazing. All right, thank you very much, Victor Cruz.
Wow. Oh, so good.
Wow.
So.
It's bloody heavy.
Victor.
It looks good on you, by the way.
I'm getting a terrible pain.
We just spoke to Jamal about the challenges, you know, not going in the draft, the place he wanted to go in the draft, and some of his early career challenges. You didn't even go in the draft, the place that you didn't want to go in the draft. You were undrafted coming out of the University of Massachusetts, everybody.
Shout out to the UMass family in here. Yeah, I mean, I obviously wanted to get drafted anywhere. I didn't care if I went seventh round, Mr. Irrelevant, last pick. I just wanted my name to come up across that screen just so my mother felt like I was worth something that day. Because I was watching it alone, and she couldn't watch it. She was cleaning the whole house. And she was like, did they say your name yet? I'm like, no, Ma, they didn't say my name. Leave me alone, please. But once we got the call afterwards to be a free agent signee with the Giants, I was equally as excited.
And then you went into preseason and just killed in preseason that first year.
I did well, to say the least.
Yeah.
I did
Cat
well.
Amongst the pigeons. At that point, you had your opportunity, you went and took it.
Absolutely. I think it was a time for me to just give it everything. If I had to, you know, if I had a moment to give it everything I had, and if it didn't work out, I could be happy with myself because I gave it everything I had, and I would, you know, I would die a happy man if I didn't get into the league. I know I gave it everything I got.
You grew up in Paterson.
Yes.
New Jersey, an amazing city. An amazing city. Coming for me, I read about you. You said, we didn't play soccer growing up. We played basketball. We played football. You said, I wish I'd played soccer because I've taken a liking to it and I watch it all the time. I got to say, when I read that, I thought, God, I wish you were a soccer player too.
Yeah.
More than I can tell you. If you were a soccer player and you're now quite a fan and you know your stuff, what kind of a football player would you have been?
I think if I would have played soccer, I would be a player similar to a kind of a guy like Fabregas who kind of assists to everyone and gets everyone in line. Oh, yeah, we got a
early season Fabregas.
Early season, yes, yes, yes. Arsenal Fabregas. There we go. There we go. Arsenal.
He looks good in blue.
I also wish I played soccer because they get a lot of guaranteed money.
Oh.
That's a whole different story, obviously, but soccer is definitely one of my second passions, and I'm very in tune with the sport.
Well, but you're a Cristiano Ronaldo guy, though.
Yeah, I was Lionel Messi as well. I'm a Messi guy too, so yeah.
I mean, I think of the Giants, I think of you, I think Odell Beckham.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we had Steve Weatherford.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
We had him on our show.
Did you guys do a push-up contest here? Or?
No, we didn't even bother. Why would we bother to do push-ups with Steve Weatherford?
When guys have muscles that big, they can't bend their arms very well. We would have crushed him. By the way, you've got to tell us afterwards what you make of him in the Giants locker room. But I think with those three, I'm kidding. He's a great guy. A lot of work for charity. That's an amazing three. I was trying to think, if NFL teams had to field the best five-a-side soccer teams and play
question.
Against each other, which would make NFL a bit better, some would say, who would win? Who would have the best five-a-side soccer? Because I can't think who would beat the Giants. I've been trying to think about would beat the Giants.
Obviously, we'd have the best team, or we'd be competing for the best team, but I think, obviously, guys like DeSean Jackson would be good, and you know their team, and with Washington and RG3. Obviously, there's a ton of trios and guys out there that could make a great soccer team as well.
I see you were playing the Raiders, Sebastian Janikowski, bombing them from long range. Melanick Watson, Justin Tuck, your former teammate,
big boy
in the middle of the park. It'd be unbelievable. I would love to do the World Cup of NFL, David.
Oh, we've talked about doing the World Cup. Oh, just with playing soccer in the NFL.
Yeah.
See, I'd like to do the World NFL Cup. with you couldn't allow the US in. It would be all the other nations playing American football. I'd love to see France go up against Germany in NFL football. It would be amazing. France against Italy would be a classic. It would
That'd be
so
hilarious.
I don't know much about that idea. Somehow I think Qatar would win. I know.
If Sepp Blatter's involved.
Say, I want to get to the big stuff, the hard stuff, the questions everybody's asking. Grooming.
Yeah.
Okay.
I live in New Jersey, where I've had the same barber since I was about 14 years old.
That is me.
He's not even a barber to me anymore. He's like a friend who just happens to cut my hair.
Where are you pulling these quotes?
I'm making
them up. No, that's Rod's talking.
No, you're nodding. I don't have hair.
Look, where's this coming from?
It's from one of your interviews with, let me remember. It was with Glamour magazine.
Ah, okay.
What role can a good barber play in someone's life? We have a lot of young men listening. What role can a good barber play in your life?
A good barber can give you great advice. Obviously, a barber most of the time, he's older than you, so he's been through some things. And obviously, when you spend time in the barbershop, you talk about everything. You talk about your problems. You talk about what you did the weekend before. You talk about, you know, everything under the sun. So your barber can give you some really good advice and you know, sometimes marriage counseling, sometimes some womanly advice that you may need.
I'm going to get a new barber.
Wow. Me too.
My barber only has one issue he wants to talk about, which is a comb over.
Well, no, I think you're too late for that, Rog, at this point. Too late for that. So, FIFA, EA Sports.
Okay.
FIFA, you're a fan.
My favorite game. I play nothing else.
So even over Madden, you will play EA Sports FIFA over Madden.
At least for me, I don't want to be at work. Well, I call it work, so I'm watching football on film all day. I go practice football, then we go watch our film, and then I go home and watch more film to make sure I'm abreast on whoever we're playing. I'm not trying to pick up a video game and play more football.
Yeah, like, good point.
I want to play a different kind of football. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I chose FIFA, and I like it because it's a cerebral game. It's not just throw it to Randy Moss and watch him run crazy, or throw it to Calvin Johnson and watch him. It's, you know, you had to have precise passing, precision lobs, headers, kicks from distance, penalty. Like, there's so many different ways to score. It's a good game to play.
What role does it play in the locker room? Because it more and more we're finding the NFL guys are really, at the end of the day, they love it. They love playing football, your football, mm-hmm. but privately they adore. I mean, there's a competition in the Giants. Are you crushing Eli Manning?
Absolutely. He doesn't play. At least he doesn't tell me he plays because he still wants to practice and get better before he plays me, at least. But I know Odell Beckham plays a lot, and him and I played over, we play online a lot and things like that. So a lot of our teammates play. We have banter in the locker room. It's definitely a big competition for sure.
Because I like to play with Everton. And then I always, to make them slightly more competitive, I always sign Mix Diskerud and Aaron Johansson up top. They cannot be stopped. What's your best tip? Who do you play with? And give us a secret to EA competitive.
So I play with
Victor Cruziness.
So from a club team, I play with Man City most of the time. We got Man U in here. People are like,
no, we just, these are Arsenal fans. They don't like anybody.
We got the Arsenal fans here. So I like Man City because of Tevez and playing with him. He has great handle with the ball and he just makes things happen everywhere. I put him right in the center and make him do whatever I need him to do.
And he listens because it's a computer game.
Yeah, I don't have to worry about his ego or anything getting in the way out there on the field. So we're good to go.
So your classic encounter with Snoop.
Yes.
Playing FIFA. Take me through
There's been ballads written about this game.
Take me through that surreal experience.
That was a crazy game. So I went to the FIFA, I think it was 14 or 15. It was the grand opening of it was the reveal of the game. And I had to play against Snoop. It was like a tournament, and it was a championship game, and I played against Snoop. But we had to play with MLS teams, which it kind of sucked because it's not as fun as playing with the European European leagues and stuff like that. But I played with the Galaxy and he played with the Red Bull, and obviously I was just using Landon Donovan at the time and just do whatever I needed to do.
Let's hear it for Bull, man.
Yeah. and it went down to the wire, and it was 1-1, and then I came down with Landon, made a couple nice moves, and hit a top shelf goal on Snoop, and I started to. talk a lot of junk right in his face, and it was pretty fun. But it was a legendary game. He scored a goal, started crip walking on me and stuff like that, and then I scored a goal and started the salsa dance on him and stuff like that. So it was a fun game. It was a fun game.
It was. Landon Donovan told me afterwards it was in all of his career. That was his highlight. and the best goal he ever scored, Victor. Yeah.
So, talking of highlights, we talked about in the intro your dancing.
Okay. You're not gonna make me dance, right?
Well,
don't do that. Don't
if
do
you
that
were gonna me. Volunteer to dance, I would take a little lesson. but does it become? I mean, just in terms of your response to that question. Does it become a burden having to talk about it? Do you now regret a little bit, like, that dance and, like, that it's become bigger than the player?
No, not at all. Not at all. I think it's a part of my DNA. It's a part of the, you know, I'm half Puerto Rican, so there's no Puerto Ricans in here. Wow. Jesus.
This is first ever. Jesus. You're first in Texas ever. Now.
I usually get, you're in I'm Texas really in Texas now. Now, right? Usually when I said I get one, like, woo, in
no,
the back.
No, you're in Texas now.
I got a cricket, just
yeah,
one
exactly.
cricket.
Yeah.
But it's a part of my DNA, and it's a part of, you know, obviously when I did in the end zone, and then I had that great year, you win a Super Bowl, you do it, score a touchdown in the Super Bowl and do the dance. It's a part of me now, and I do it in honor of my grandmother who taught me how to dance, and she passed away 2 years ago, so I do it in honor of her.
Ah, that's a beautiful thing, beautiful thing. So, my hometown, New York Giants, went and saw a couple of games this season.
Okay.
Not the season you wanted to have.
Of course.
So going into next season, other than Steve Weatherford, which I know is the he's the player you're all getting behind in the locker room to go and lead you to the promised land, what is the New York Giants' key to success in the 2015 NFL season?
I think the number one thing is health. I think obviously keeping everybody healthy is the biggest key, because once we're all healthy, the talent level we have on our team is second to none. I think with myself, Odell Beckham, Ruben Randall, you know, we just picked up Shane Vereen and Dwayne Harris, a return man from the Cowboys. I think the talent level is just through the roof on our team right now. And it's just a matter of keeping everybody healthy and making sure everybody's on the same page will definitely get us to the promised land. And the biggest key is just getting everybody together during OTAs and training camp to understand the type of talent we have, to understand the type of team we have, and the rest is history. So we'll see how it goes.
Cool.
When's Jeremy Shockey coming back from injury?
Hopefully he's just watching and hoping we're doing a great job. Jeremy, if you're watching, I'm not saying anything bad about you. I can't.
I just imagine him in a big room somewhere with Mark Bavaro, and they're all just watching you, mildly applauding. We pray this is your season. You're a remarkable bloke. We give you, I'll be honest, I'm a huge Bears fan.
Okay.
But having lived in New York now for 20 years with great osmosis, I do warm to the New York Giants. I adore what you do and how you do it. I think you inspire all of us. I'm not just saying this because I'm hoping you're going to walk off without this chain. your people over there have been looking at it since you gave it to me with a great eye.
They're going
to
jump on you.
It's
if you
coming,
walk
it's coming
chain.
Back. I'll say it's been one of the great honours of my time in Austin to wear this beauty. Can we hear it for Victor Cruz?
Thank you.
It's stuck. Oh. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Mate. You're amazing.
No problem.
Good luck for
no
the year
problem.
Ahead.
Thank you.
Go on.
Well, that's it, Rog. That's it for us in Austin. We're gonna fly home tonight. We're gonna miss it. We properly love this city. We properly love this state. Couldn't be more excited about the Premier League on NBC. Want to thank our producers Lexi Tannenholtz and JW back there in the sound booth, and everybody at NBC, and everybody at the Four Seasons, everybody at Good Sense, who's helped us with this event, Rog.
We want to thank Rebecca Lowe.
Yeah.
We want to thank Kyle. We want to thank the two Robbies.
Yeah.
All of whom, every team has a weak link. We are honoured to be that weak link on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
We got a gorgeous guest at 10 o'clock. It's going to be our St. Patrick's Day special.
Yes.
This Monday, a day we take incredibly seriously. It's going to be very moving. I may or may not dress up as Sinead O'Connor.
Yeah. I may or may not dress up as Stephen Quinn.
So we want to thank you for all the love and support you've given us. We want to open your hearts to the people from College Station, like Breck Shea, a great American, the single footballer who actually acts like a character from a Nick Kroll series on a daily basis. And we want to thank you all. We're going to have a quick raise of Guinness with all of you. We're very grateful to be in here. Courage, Kung Fu Fighting Austin, Texas.
War Pig, thank you very much.